Yeah, but like that's the thing about marriage, man. It's like it takes a long time to do that.
9 years.
You know what? Wait a minute. What are you saying?
9 years is a long time, but
6 years is a long time. You want to bring it up again? Section 8. I'm gonna take talk about my
goodness.
So what are you talking about? 9 years? What? 9 years for Valentine's Day?
Okay, no.
What are you talking about?
I'm just saying they've been married a while for her to have to.
Oh, she's been married 9 years.
Yes.
Oh, we've been married 9 years too. I thought you were talking about us. Sorry, I got triggered, y'all.
Hello, my name is Mrs. Melanin.
And I'm Belief Mel.
And we're here with episode 72 of
How Married Are You? My name is Belief, this is Yvette, and we've been married 9 years. We live in California and we have
four kids.
Relationships are scary and it's very necessary that we share all of our struggles and we ask how married are you? Every Tuesday and Thursday, shawty. If you're listening, you're in the wedding party. If you're feeling it, go ahead, put your hands up. We got the... You got the questions, we got the answers. Chocolate baby story time. Hey, look, it's chocolate baby
story time.
One and a two and a three, let's go.
It's chocolate baby story time.
My bad, y'all. All right, yeah, so we are here with another chocolate baby story time. As Uzi falls asleep in the other room, and I don't know, things have been kind of cool with the kids. Mm-hmm. We just celebrated Theo's 7th birthday. Mm-hmm. And we had this big party at the parkour gym where he works. Mm-hmm. Where he does his like little parkour practices or whatever. And the cool thing is that he really got to enjoy all his friends and family who were there. But it was weird to see him like stumble over this wall that he usually jumps off. Mm. It's like, I don't know, 10 feet. I don't know. It's like a little bit long, maybe 12 feet. Mm-hmm. But he just would not jump for the longest time. And so we were really confused by that because we thought he was kind of over that fear. And it just reminded me that, like, you know, just because you conquer a fear one time, that doesn't mean you won't experience fear again, you know? Mm-hmm. It was very interesting. So it's my little...
It's interesting that that's the chocolate baby story time you would share, because mine is kind of an insightful moment as well, where yesterday we went to the park, and we've kind of come to the stage where we can like sit on a bench and not so much hover around our children while they play at the playground.
Yeah.
And so the kids, the oldest three, were kind of running around, and Anaya was climbing up this thing. Like, at first she was just going up the stairs, but then she decided to like be adventurous. And you know how they have the ones that are separated from the thing, but you kind of climb up around the pole and then you have to step across to get to it. Well, she got to that one and it was time for her to like step across from the ladder type thing to the actual play structure. Mm-hmm. And she started screaming for me. Not like screaming crazily, but she was like, mom, kind of deal. And I literally just went over there and stood. Didn't touch her, didn't do nothing. I was kind of just ready to catch her if she fell. And when I was walking away, and she stepped over just fine, like I didn't do anything. But when I was walking away from her, I was like, that is how the Lord probably like, you know, what he's doing with us on a daily basis. Like, there are a lot of times when we're like, okay, Lord, where are you at? Where are you at? And then we get to the next thing. And it's like being in close proximity to him will kind of carry us over to that next phase when we're like, where are you, Lord? So
that's really good.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Okay, guys. So before we get into this episode, we wanted to let you know,
officially invite you to be a part of our How Married Are You Patreon.
Yes.
All right. So to be a patron is $5, and it's really awesome.
Yeah.
We actually recorded our first episode and we were asked this question.
And we're going to play it right now.
So I just watched the episode that Belief uploaded of Theo and cutting his hair. And the moment when Yvette, when you were waiting to see Theo's hair, and Glenn made a comment. He was basically saying that he wished we saw Theo's expression on his face. Like, we didn't know. He didn't know if you guys were going to accept him and stuff of that nature. And I don't know why that reminded me of Dwayne Wade and what's going on with his son. I don't know if you guys know, but his son has transitioned into a female, and he wants to be called Zaya instead of Zion. So I wanted to know how you guys felt about that, being parents who are believers, but at the same time, you want to accept your son the same way that you accepted Theo, or the same way you saw through Theo's face that he wanted acceptance from his mom, he wanted acceptance from his dad with his new haircut and stuff of that nature. So I wanted to know how you guys feel about what's going on with Dwayne Wade's son, and as a believer, how you respond to that in the most loving way possible, that you know that your son is still accepted without you condoning it. I don't know, but yeah, so what's your opinion on that? All right, so have a good night, you guys.
Oh, okay, well, this is a perfect type of answer that we, this is a perfect type of conversation we'd have on the Patreon. How mad are you, Patreon? Because this is like current events.
And I'm just gonna say right here, I wasn't ready.
Yeah, she.
I didn't pre-listen to that question.
So if you want to hear the answer to this question, which it was a very interesting question.
Oh Lord.
You know, sign up for Patreon.
Yeah. The link is in the show notes below.
In the description below. All right, now back to the episode.
All right.
Let's get to these dilemmas.
Yeah, so the first one that I wanted to bring up was one where someone who called in or wrote in actually called in this time, so we get to hear their voice. But I just wanted to play this voicemail for us and hear.
Are we going to reference it at all and tell people where it's from? Okay.
They will reference it themselves.
All right.
All right, here we go.
Hi, Glenn and Yvette. I thought I owed you guys a voicemail since you've been asking for them since day one and y'all ain't had no luck, but I definitely owe you one because a couple months ago now, I wrote you an email titled $10,000 in debt for my boyfriend. I was feeling pretty dramatic at the time, and Glenn, you kind of cracked some jokes on me and, you know, made fun of my spreadsheet that I was keeping with my $1 payments here and my $10 here. And it was all in good fun. And at the time, I was thankful that you kind of brought some levity to it and made me realize that I was being a little dramatic. But I also was really grateful for the advice because, Glenn, you said something really insightful. That was that maybe it wasn't a money thing. Maybe it was I don't feel safe with him thing. So anyways, long story short, several months later, I am happy to report that when I did fall on hard times and when I was without a job for a long period of time and I didn't know how I was going to get into the school program that I wanted to get into and nothing was going right, that guy had my back. He never let me go without a meal. He made sure that I went to all of the programs and the internships and all of the things that I wanted to do, even though I didn't have the money to do them. And he made me feel safe. And I realized he really just needed a chance for me to not be keeping a spreadsheet. And once I gave him that chance, I was really, really, I wasn't surprised. I knew it all along, but I was really grateful that I hadn't given up on him. And it really was because of you guys. All the other advice that I'd gotten from unmarried folks was, you know, he's a bum and he's playing you and he's taking you for all that you're worth. And you guys were like, I don't think it's that deep. I think, you know, you're just overpaying and he's overindulging and, you know, you've got a good stay-at-home dad is what you said, Glenn. But anyways, long story short, I just wanted to give you guys a shout-out. Thank you so much for all that you do. Sorry for the long voicemail. Should have probably written an email, but I love you guys so much.
Oh, my goodness. You should not have written an email. It's better to hear your voice. Yeah. And we love hearing updates from you guys.
Yeah. Wow. That's really awesome.
I love it. I love it.
Super awesome to hear that. Jeez. I'm so glad, you know, that worked out because I was really concerned about that one, you know?
Yeah.
Man, jeez, that's really cool. It makes me warm inside. Be doing some good in the world.
Okay, you're funny. Thank you so much for calling and updating us on that. Yes. We love it.
I feel like I got a hug.
Aww,
do you feel like you got a hug?
Yeah.
Like just got squeezed. Yeah, yeah, that was good.
A virtual hug. All right, we're going to get into this email. It says, hello, fellow beautiful married couple. I have a very serious question. My husband and I have been married for going on 9 years in April, and I have to continue to repeat myself during our serious discussions about how he is not romantic enough. We do have occasional date nights without kids when we have a sitter. But to me, that's not enough. As his wife, I'm always a creative one, thinking of new adventures and new ways of pleasing him. So my question is, do you as a married couple think that other married couples struggle with romance and intimacy, or am I just tripping? P.S. I personally love watching your podcast, and I'm glad to see another Black young married couple with children actually be honest and open about the ups and downs of marriage. Please continue to be educators for people who are married and wish to be married. Thank you so much.
He is me.
I wouldn't say so.
I'm not very romantic in this season.
But when in this season, no. But when you do things like was that our anniversary? When you had Mikkel come to the house and cook us a meal, and we didn't have childcare, the kids were just upstairs asleep.
And they kept coming downstairs.
And they kept
what are you guys eating?
But that was like creative and very sweet. You have good ideas when you do have them.
I don't know. I feel, you know, I kind of take it easy on the guys. I don't know why. I guess because I'm a guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that I understand her plight.
Mm-hmm.
But she says, I have a very serious question. Mm-hmm. Right. And then she goes on to say, I repeat myself during our serious discussions about how he is not romantic enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not very motivating, I would say. I don't know the solution.
Okay.
But I would say, if you're telling me that I'm not romantic enough, and I'm hearing it more than once in an argument, it's going to be super hard for me to be like, well, that's inspiring. You know what I'm saying? For me to be
so like, then what would be the appropriate approach to tell you that you are not romantic?
My question is, has he ever been romantic?
Mm.
You know, like, is he that guy? Or
but does it matter that he has or has not ever been? Because if she's saying that that's something that she desires, wouldn't it be his responsibility to hear her and like at least show effort toward that?
You had desires of me early on, mm-hmm, to, you know, not rap and be a teacher or start a DJ company. I'm just trying to bring some like,
keep going, I'm listening, know, sorry.
You're doing that thing you do when you give up and you stop listening and you start to, you know,
I'm
orchestrate
not,
your comeback.
Okay,
so what
that's
I'm saying
true. Let it, me listen.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is like, I was not that guy at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing you would have said would have helped me be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there is a mind state that like a hustle that has to happen, or like an hunger or for him to want to do it himself. It's just not. Yeah. And so I think he should try for sure, especially if that's a desire. But I don't think I could force you to do something you don't want to do. You know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm,
that's not like actually your heart,
mm-hmm,
you know?
And so what I'm thinking of right now is that, so we have been able to have regular date nights, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for us, like our ideas of a date night kind of, you know, vary. Like for you, you would love to go play tennis every single date night,
mm-hmm,
which I enjoy playing tennis. But I don't want to do that every single date night.
You want to run errands?
No.
Hey, y'all, ask her what we did tonight. Tonight was Dana. Ask her.
Oh, my my goodness, I can't stand this guy. He is so annoying.
Okay, so I would want to play tennis and you would want to.
You know, like, playing tennis is nice, but, and you say that we talk during tennis, but I don't feel like we talk during tennis. We just play.
We don't talk except when we're doing this.
Oh my goodness. But what I'm saying is, like, we even more don't talk when we play tennis. And so I would rather go do something like what you wouldn't want to do.
Yeah. Go sit down and eat.
At a restaurant.
At a restaurant.
But I don't always want to do that. I'm down for like a new experience or whatever, but I just, or even just go watch the sunset.
Yeah.
Hang out at the beach.
Yeah. But like, see, like, this is the thing, like, so what was your point?
So my point in saying that is she probably is like, you know, it's cool that we get date nights, but I don't want to be the one to arrange for childcare, to plan the date, and then to drag you along on the date. Like, mm-hmm. I want you, like, okay, I can arrange childcare, you plan the date. Or can you do it all? Because I feel like a lot of times us as the women are, we have to consider all the different factors and all you have to do is show up. Mm-hmm. And so in this one moment of time, we would like you to kind of create, like, make an effort to make us feel
who's
special.
We?
Us women.
Okay. All right.
Why? What are you talking about? What's happening right now?
I don't know. I just feel like you kind of piled yourself onto that.
I did, because we literally just had this conversation.
Yeah. I would say that there is a, like, there's a lot of obstacles there. Okay, so we were talking about having a consistent date night for years, mm-hmm. before we actually had one. Mm-hmm. This is the most consistent, mm-hmm. that we've ever had, because we have systems in place, like a nanny who, mm-hmm. comes and these are her hours. Mm-hmm. And that is not really feasible for everyone. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if these people even have kids.
They do, I'm assuming.
I don't think they
sitter.
Do. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Have a sitter.
Yeah, so, you know, she's working. I'm assuming he's working as well. Yeah, I'm not sure. I think there's one thing where the guy does need to step up, but there's not a lot for me to know about his side. You know what I mean? Because there's a, like, different women want different things. You know, some women are like, yeah, we can just go have a picnic. Or some women are like, yo, I want to spend money every single time we go out. And that is a drag sometimes, you know?
I'm fine with a picnic. I am starting to.
We're not talking about you.
I
We're
know.
Talking about some women.
I'm trying to.
You see, man.
I feel you, girl. I'm not even going to say your name, but I feel you.
Yeah,
girl.
I just think that, you know. You know, I know you like to be wined and dined.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Like, when I get, like, the other day, Glenn said something to me. He was like, I haven't seen you wear that sweater. And I'm like, I've worn that sweater several times. But, like, he doesn't get to see me get dressed and go out because he just doesn't. He leaves early in the morning and he gets home late, you know? And so you don't ever, you know, I don't know. And so then when you want to go out and you want to play tennis, I'm not going to get dressed nicely to go play tennis. Like, I want to feel cute. And, like, I don't have lots of opportunities to do that because, honestly, as a stay-at-home mom, it is kind of like, okay, let me just wear some leggings and, mm-hmm. whatever. Which, I mean, it's not necessarily the, you know, some people get offended when you say that. But
we did go out twice this past, or these past 2 days, not tonight, but 2 nights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, eat. Yeah. I know. I'm just saying.
And you could have worn a sweater, but you didn't.
Babe. Man, oh man. But what I'm saying is I'm trying to relate to this young woman right here.
And I'm trying to relate to her man who has no voice here. I don't know what this man is going through.
What I'm trying to say is she probably, I don't know.
How would you communicate it to me? Hey, okay. I need to feel, and I'm just like, okay, I hear you. But there are certain things, like sometimes you say things and I'm like, are you talking about right now or the future? You know, like I understand, but for me, like,
what do you mean right now or the future?
Like, you'll be like, yo, I want to go to Italy. And I'll be like, okay. And then you'll say again, don't you just want to get out of here and like go or, like, to London or something? And I'm like, actually, I don't. Like, I have no desire to go to London ever again. No offense to our people in London who are listening. I just don't like to travel.
Seriously, because we have a lot of listeners from there.
For real. I love y'all, man. Y'all
got... I want to go. Bring me.
Yeah. Yeah, but like some things like I just don't want to do. You know what I'm saying? But I do feel like he should try. I feel like he should put in effort. But how is that message coming across?
Oh, you know what? Okay, keep talking. Sorry.
For me, like that message, how you deliver that message is super important. Because though he could just listen to be like, yeah, I got you. There are other things that are preventing him from hearing you. And I think that needs to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I feel like he needs to say, like, instead of you saying, try saying it in a different way. Hey, and it's weird, man, because sometimes you have to cater to men in a certain way that is frustrating. You know what I mean? It's like, I got to talk to this dude. Like, he doesn't understand what I'm saying, or I don't deserve it. I deserve this. Like, you know, obviously you work because you're emailing from your job, but like, you have to kind of like play into him, like helping your man understand your point. It's not that you don't, like, you don't respect him for not taking you out. You really want to spend significant time with him and enjoy and have something to look forward to. And at this current moment, when you get home, there's nothing to look forward to. And you don't have to say it like that, but like, there's a part of my week that I need a high point in my week. And if you can help me have a high point in my week with a date night, I think that'd be awesome. Because right now I go to work, I come home, we take care of the kids, we eat dinner, we do this, we do that. Weekends, we go to your people's house, we go to my people's house, and then that's it. And it's back to the same old thing. But I really don't have a lot to look forward to. And I want to do something special once a week with you. Can we do that? And I think that delivery might be able to help. Go ahead.
Okay. So this woman, someone shared her post and then I read it and I was like, oh, I'm going to share this. And she shared it on Valentine's Day and she makes 5 points, but I'm going to read the first 3 because I feel like they're relevant here.
You shout this woman out, no?
Her name is Lindsay. I don't really. Yeah.
Okay.
And she has these points. So the first one is, 1, expectations need to be communicated. As much as we wish our spouses could read our minds, they can't. And if they should just know, then we are literally setting them up for failure. Keep it simple and voice your desires and expectations. Do you want to wake up to breakfast in bed? Tell him. Also, this life was never intended to be all about us. How can you intentionally place your family above yourself tomorrow? She's talking about Valentine's Day. But that right there, I feel like that's something that I have learned kind of to a certain extent, because like, I don't know if y'all remember last year on Valentine's Day when absolutely nothing transpired. And I didn't, and like, I thought we were a couple that doesn't celebrate Valentine's Day. But then when there was like no anything, I was kind of like, wait a minute.
I didn't sign up for this.
No. I was like, I do like to celebrate Valentine's Day. And so I realized that wasn't something that we had ever really talked about. Like, are we celebrating this or are we not? And I realized that it was something that I wanted to. So I feel like this year was a major step up as far as, I mean, I was sick and the kids were sick, but it was still much better than last year. And so there's progress being made. 2, she says, everyone was raised differently. My parents brought me flowers and gifts for every holiday every year, but my husband's family isn't the same way. When that isn't part of their experiential or behavioral pattern, it is difficult to create a brand new habit. Don't place that heavy expectation on your spouse. If you like to celebrate, go all out for them. And if they don't do the same, go back up to 1.
Which she's one? Fire. She's about to catch a follow with me right now.
Yeah. And so I was like, that's really good point too, because like family, it all comes back to family of origin really. But like, even for like my family, birthdays were a lot more something than with Glenn, like those types of holidays or whatever were things that we celebrated versus what he celebrated. So that's something to keep in mind too. And then lastly, 3, the state of your relationship is not based on flowers, chocolates, diamonds, or anything else that money can buy. Don't allow yourself to place that stigma on your relationship. Throw that idea into the pit of hell, if you will. Let's say this louder for those in the back. If you don't have a husband who is elaborate in gift giving, it doesn't mean he doesn't love you. Gift giving or creating dates or whatever, too. Because I just feel like, I don't know. I feel like sometimes we look at how another couple might be having regular date nights or whatever. And we might, and the dates are like, because I'm not going front. I look at Maggie and Drew sometimes and I'm like, oh, he took her in a helicopter?
Yeah, they also have no kids. Oh, they're soon to have their first kid.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, they have always been extra. Love you guys, if you're listening. But, you know, like.
No, but Drew is a naturally romantic person. Mm-hmm. Like, that dude is just romantic. Like, when he says things, he'd be like Maggie be like, yeah, and he got me this. And I'm like, oh, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh my gosh, that is so sweet. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not like, man, I got to step it up. I used to feel like that, but it's just like impossible for me. Like, it's not impossible, but I'm not competing. I'm not competing with them.
Which also brings a good point too. Like, you yourself knowing who you are, like, your husband probably understands who he is. But at the same time, I feel like he's called to, like, step out of his comfort zone. And
yeah, but, like, that's the thing about marriage, man. It's like, it takes a long time to do that.
9 years.
What are you saying?
9 years is a long time. But
6 years is a long time. You want to bring it up again? Section 8. I'm going to talk about all my.
Oh, my goodness.
So what are you talking about? 9 years what? Years for Valentine's Day?
Okay, no.
What are you talking about?
I'm just saying they've been married a while for her to have to.
Oh, continue. She's been married 9 years.
Yes.
Oh, we've been married 9 years too. I thought you were talking about us. Sorry. I got triggered, y'all.
I was so confused. I'm like, what is happening? Let's get back.
We got this.
Okay. So anyway, but also the thing, it changes when you have children too, man. Like, that puts a whole different, you know, element on the relationship and on the accessibility of even having a date night. So if y'all are single or if y'all are married without kids or even just dating without kids, please enjoy each other.
It's different.
Thoroughly. Don't take it for granted.
Because you'd be looking forward to going to Lowe's with your spouse. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a hot night out. You know what I mean?
Taking things back, and that's what our date night was. We went and watched the sunset, and then we returned some things and shopped for some new things, and then went to the grocery store, y'all.
All right, so moral of the story is, I think that you have to know your spouse, and it's okay for them to know themselves. And I do think that there is a lifetime, you know, of molding. Somewhat. And so sometimes, like, that's what helps me when I'm like, when we're struggling with something, or I'm kind of like, man, I don't feel like we should be better than this in this area, or maybe you should be better than this in this area, or maybe I should. And I'm like, I know, like, this is like this is different. Like, this is working in becoming, I'm becoming the best version for you. You don't understand? I'm not that guy right now.
Yeah.
And I think there's going to be some grace there. But I do believe that you guys can get back. And I think there's a little bit of grace that needs to be given to him in communicating in a very good way. This doesn't need to be a sit down talk. Like, when I tell Yvette, like, you know, I want to get a vasectomy. She's like, why? I miss you. Like, I miss you. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if she heard me, but I was being very honest, and that was the best way I could explain and how I was feeling. So yeah.
Yeah, and her question is, so my question is, do you as a married couple think that married couples struggle with romance and intimacy? The answer to that question is yes.
Yeah, definitely.
You are not just tripping. But I like what Glenn said about how you are becoming. I feel like your husband is hearing you, and you might have to say it 100 different ways over a course of time. Glenn doesn't seem to think that, but I do think that it probably could be communicated. You might even have to be blatant in saying something like, I would like to wake up in the morning and have breakfast in bed. Or you might have to say something like, I would like for you to get me a bouquet of flowers once a month. Or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you can't be weird when he does it. Because that's the type of stuff you do.
That's what I
do. I want you to
call
me beautiful. Next day, you are so beautiful. Like, I had to tell you. You did it too soon.
Yeah, remember you that? Did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You do.
I'm just applying what you told me.
Yeah. Don't be like me, y'all.
Yeah.
Don't be like me. But like, I do think that it would be good to give him some concrete examples of what it looks like to be romantic enough, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Or even just asking him like, hey, like, is this hard for you? Like, I've mentioned this a couple times and it's, I know that you don't, you know, I know you're not angry with me or anything like that, but it seems like I'm not communicating it good enough, or maybe am I upsetting you? Like, have those conversations like that. I think that might be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next question.
All right. Hey guys, would love your thoughts on what are good sexual boundaries to have in a dating relationship. For example, my significant other loves to kiss me often, but for me that causes temptation. I love to be physical and touch her often, but for her that causes temptation. What were some boundaries you guys had when you were dating, if you had any? Thank you.
That sound like us. Yeah, man. I mean, this is difficult.
Because I think boundaries look different in everyone's relationship.
No.
Because, like,
I had it right, man. I was trying to go strong, you know, like, let's do this. And you were curious.
His thing was, I think we've talked about this before, where he didn't want to kiss until we were married, until our wedding day.
Yeah. And that was trying to see if we had chemistry. And so,
I'm not sure if I said that.
I'm positive you said it. 100%. Those are your words.
Whatever. Maybe I did.
I think, man, to be safe, you know what I mean? Like, honestly, you guys are dating. You're dating with the intention of marriage, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I would try to just really deter yourself from anything that is going to, frustrate yourself, you know, because you know, when you're dealing with like a sexual, like, sin type of situation, you know what I mean, you often like it leads into like a depression or guilt, you know what I mean? And so it's a very slippery slope there. And so you want this connection with this person, but you know, you want to be able to express your love, but you try to do it in different ways, and it gets very difficult. So you are right, though. Like, each person in the relationship is different, because some people are like, yeah, man, it's cool. Like, I give her a kiss and it's no problem. You know what I mean? But most people, like, is like, all right, man, like, now I want to do a little bit more. You know what I'm saying? And so Yvette would, like, she wouldn't know how bad she was activating me when we were, like, like, kissing. You know what I'm saying? I was like, yo, I can't deal with this. You know what I'm saying? And you just didn't get it. You know what I mean? And I don't think you didn't care, but you just didn't understand, like, the effects. And so I think now you get it, right?
I understand the anatomy of the body a little bit better, I feel like.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I didn't know that type of stuff before, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound stupid?
Right? No, it doesn't sound stupid. It sounds ignorant, but it doesn't sound stupid. And that ignorant, I don't mean that in a bad way.
No, I don't take offense.
So what are good sexual boundaries? You know, it depends on your purpose. You know, I would definitely protect your life, you know, protect yourself and say, hey, man, this is what I stand for and this is where I'm at and this is going to hurt me. This is not. So I'm not doing that other thing, you know.
And yeah, I think it. Sorry, did I cut you off?
Go ahead.
I think. Because I don't want to say, like, these are sexual boundaries that you should have. But I think that you kind of really have to think about what it is that triggers certain behaviors with you guys. For example, like, if you guys notice that things get really bad after 9 o'clock. Or, you know what I mean? Like, if you find yourself alone a lot and you're like, you know, we shouldn't be alone after a certain hour. Whatever it is. You have to create either a curfew for yourself or find an accountability partner or hang out in public places or do all the things. But for some people, that's not necessary. So you kind of have to just be honest with yourself in creating those types of boundaries. And then I think you have to just really stick to them, which is easier said than done. But if you communicate these to your significant other and they communicate things to you, then you guys have to kind of respect each other. And I feel like it'll set you up for your union eventually. Yeah.
I think that those very, very wise words. And I think that, you know, we witnessed a lot of like relationships kind of fall apart, like during our time of like dating, you know what I'm saying? And so I think that one of the things that helped us was our boundaries. You know what I'm saying? Like we tried hard, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And you know, we didn't have sex before marriage. I think ultimately like that was the best thing for us, because that would have been a very, very, very difficult, you know, time for us. I feel like we would have been very distracted and guilty. Mm-hmm. And I just would say, really protect yourself. And really what matters is not so much what you can't do, but it's like what you can do eventually, you know? And it's like you guys can really grow together and look forward to something special as a married couple, you know, and discover things together. And that's like the beautiful thing. So if something bugs you and she likes to do it, just tell her, like, hey, man, like I used to tell Yvette, like, I'm not going to hell for you, man.
Mm-hmm, he sure did.
Like, look, man, you want to do that, that's all good. I ain't going to hell for you. Peace. And I was, that was definitely dramatic and like legalistic and crazy, like insane. Mm-hmm. But that was just my little, like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
We got one more, or we good?
We can try. So my question is more about singleness than relationships, but I still want to ask, from listening to podcasts like yours and learning things about marriage, one thing that concerns me is how to be abstinent and pure physically and especially mentally. Listening to the How Married Are You podcast about how your sex life struggle due to Yvette's lack of understanding makes me want to be educated about my sexuality before I get married. But how can I do that without falling into temptation? I'm only 19, so I don't plan on actually getting married too soon, but obviously I want to get married someday. I don't think it's too early for me to prepare for marriage, right? But this part of preparation is something that I don't think Christians talk about enough. Thank you for all that y'all do.
That's a really good question.
It is. And I felt like it was a good segue from the other one.
Yeah, very good. I think it's okay for you to understand your body. And I think like that is super powerful. Like you knowing your body and knowing what, you know, your body is capable of, I think that is like very, very important information for you to know. I think it's okay for you to educate yourself about how your body works and stuff like that from a woman's perspective. I think that's super important. And I don't think that Yvette was like, what did she say you were struggling with because of Yvette's lack of understanding? I don't think it was a lack of understanding. I think it was like a
lack of education.
I think it was like fear. I think, you know, it was like, this is bad, avoid it. And like, we couldn't talk about it. It just was like, you know, it was like, I think the lack of understanding led to fear, but I think it was deep fear that you were like, I don't think I'm supposed to enjoy this. I'm not sure. Maybe you can speak on it, but
it was a stigma. Like for my entire life, when I get married, 23 years old, for 23 years, sex was something that you were to avoid and not participate in. And it was like sinful. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, because I said I do, it is now permissible. Mm-hmm. And so I am supposed to, like, you know, now it's okay for me to open my legs. But what does that mean when I open my legs?
Yeah.
Type situation. Like, and what happens when I open my legs? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just know I'm supposed to open my legs.
Yikes.
So it's kind of like, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah. And you know that sex is supposed to happen in order for you to, like, procreate. But.
Yeah.
What else? Like, am I really supposed to enjoy it? Or is it just so that, you know?
I enjoy it. Oh, or kids.
Yeah.
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 Well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, some women like think like I'm supposed to do this
for my husband. Like, it's for the man more than it's for the woman.
Yeah, which is definitely not the case.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't have to be the case.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I don't think that education about sex or education about your body equals sin.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are ways for you to do that. I think you might have to be creative and have some conversations, some brave conversations with some other women,
mm-hmm.
Who are already in that season.
Mm-hmm.
People who feel comfortable talking about this,
mm-hmm.
And people who can just guide you and be like, hey, like, this is okay. Mm-hmm. Or this, you know, some people don't think it's okay, but it might be, it's not for me, but it may be for you, you know? I think that is the best way to do it, is like very, very safe, like counsel people you trust.
And I think even more so, like for me, I think what would have been helpful is to have more of a biblical understanding of sex and what God intended it for.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do think that the church can sometimes just kind of say, don't do it. But they don't necessarily say like how you're supposed to. There's not a lot of conversation surrounding like the beauty of it in a marriage relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think if anything, like start there, because I think sometimes people are a little bit nervous about, doing it in a different, like exploring it in a different form because they feel like it might lead them to certain behaviors or, you know, it might intrude with their purity. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like it might trigger other behaviors that are not necessarily something that you should be doing right now. And so I feel like if you do like more of a biblical study on it, then that kind of will help start to at least change your mindset toward the idea of sex.
I'm sure there are some out there, but I've never heard of one.
I haven't
either. And whenever I read the Bible and I'm like, read Song of Songs, and I'm going through, I'm like, what in the heck is this guy talking about? He's like, you know, like writing scriptures and graffiti. Like, I can't read this.
As I was saying that, I was like, we should write that.
No, but I was thinking, I was like, there needs to be more safe places for people who aren't supposed to have sex to be able to talk about it.
Yes.
Like there needs to be like, hey, like that has to be out there.
Yeah.
Like that is a huge disservice.
And I feel like in my mind, I'm immediately thinking about it from a woman's perspective, but I'm also even thinking about it from like a man's perspective, because I think about boys and how like they talk to each other about it and how they might, you know, it might be like a, you know what I mean? A badge of honor. Ooh, I got to, you know, have sex with this person, or I saw that porn, whatever, or, you know, so I don't know. I just feel like all around it needs to be discussed.
Well, I feel like too that, you know, before I thought like sex was, you know, a release or like you know, like, I got to do this. I have to. You know what I'm saying? Or like a, I don't know, just like a place for me to kind of like, you know, I don't know, like, you know, kind of get the thing off me. You know what I'm saying? Like the horniness off me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But now it's like such a place of like comfort and reassurance and safety.
Mm.
And that I never thought of. Like, I didn't even think it could ever be that.
Mm.
And so, even still, like, you were uneducated, so was I, because I didn't know either. I didn't know it was supposed to be that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you look forward to, is the, like, the security, safety, comfort, reassurance, the pleasure, you know, that comes along with that, but it's so sacred, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, a place where, Or it shouldn't be, you know, a place where it's just like, I got to get this done, you know, because if I don't, I'm going to be weird, you know?
Okay.
No, like, really, like, I'm going to be like, I'm going to feel different and I'm going to be tempted and I have to. It's kind of like, man, we haven't connected. I want to connect, you know, with
mm-hmm.
you. So I think there needs to be a safe place out there, and we should really do some research, and if not, write a book.
I totally think we should do that.
All right, I think we're good.
We are good.
We did 40 minutes.
Okay, well, as you guys know, we have been asking you guys to send in your How married are yous? We have been telling y'all every week how married we are, and we just want to hear how married y'all are. And so I want to remind you that you can call 760-335-6643. Again, that's 760-335-6643 in order to leave a voicemail for us and let us know how married you are. Or you can leave a DM in our How Married Are You Instagram, or you can click in the show notes below. There's a link to our Anchor voicemail. But we would love for you to call in, let us know your name and where you're from, and then start with, I'm so married that, and end with, that's just how married I am.
Yep.
Type situation. So if you could do that for us, that would be wonderful. We love hearing from y'all. And right now we are going to hear from this lovely being right now.
Being.
Sorry.
Hi, Glenn and Yvette. This is Francesca and my husband, Chris.
Hey, y'all.
And I'm so married that I just went away for a bachelorette party weekend for my cousin. And before I left, I cooked meals for my husband to eat every night while I was away.
And I'm so married that when she came back from her trip, she was sick and I was taking care of her. And the next day, I surprised her with a dozen roses to celebrate 4 months of marriage.
Oh, my goodness. That's why. Four months in?
Wow.
That is so sweet.
So sweet. Oh, man. I love it.
Do you remember the newlywed stage?
Yeah. I got to tell y'all, man, if I could go back in time, I wouldn't set the bar that high. What happens? 4 months, 6 months, 8 months? Come on now.
You are ridiculous.
Hey, I love y'all, man, but I got to keep it one thou out with you.
Babe, how married are you?
I'm so married. You were sick. You were on your deathbed and like, you know, and I was like, you know, I was like, I got to go to the gym. I got to work. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, I'm like, I got to get out of here. And you were just like, cool, I'm going to sleep. And I stayed home and I kicked it and I did not work that day and took care of the kids while you got some rest.
I appreciate you because I really could not have made it.
Yeah. How married are you?
Babe, I'm so married that the other day when I was going out and getting stuff for Theo's birthday party and I was at the grocery store, I was just going to get the things that we needed for his party. But I got other things like your ground turkey and your chicken breast. But not just did I get the chicken breast, I got the thin cut.
Yeah. Thank you, babe.
And that's just how married we are.